Still in the wilderness. Are you there with me? Last week we looked at God's provision in the wilderness. We want today to look at His protection. And I hope actually this morning you have an opportunity to sort of recalibrate your understanding of God's protection, especially when we go through our own wilderness journeys. This is a rich theme, one that wraps around us. And I want to invite you with me into the text. And the text is actually only a beginning of much of what we might see and hear and know. So we're going to look at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9, if you would turn in your Bibles there. And I want to read that and recognize again, we're sort of going back and forth as we look at these things, and please do stand as we read. We have journeyed, and we will journey with the Israelites. And again, God begins this with a familiar ring. If you haven't heard it, hear it again. Because He speaks to the Israelites, and He speaks to us, Deuteronomy chapter 9. He says, "Hear, O Israel. You are to cross over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess the nations greater and mightier than you, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know, and of whom you have heard it said, 'Who can stand before the sons of Anak?' Know therefore today that He who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you, so you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly, as the Lord has promised you. Do not say in your heart, 'After the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it's because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land.' Whereas it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you, and that He may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Know therefore that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people. Remember and don't forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath. And the Lord was so angry with you that He was ready to destroy you. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord had made with you, I remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. And the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words that the Lord had spoken with you on the mountain in the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me two tablets of stone, tablets of the covenant. And then He said to me, 'Arise, go quickly from here. For your people, whom you have brought from Egypt, have acted corruptly. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them, that they have made themselves a metal image.'" The word of the Lord. Let's ask for God to come and bless us with it. Father, would you take your word now and pour it into our hearts. Pour it into our spirits with meaning, with understanding, and with action, that we might learn to trust you for your great provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A few weeks ago, I was looking at the final Ravens game this season, I guess there's always hope for another season, right, if you're a Ravens supporter, but it ended this year. And I was impressed as I looked at that game and at another game, how many of our athletes have these signs of the cross. It might be in their eye shadow. It might be a cross around their neck. It might be a sign of the cross when they kick or when they receive or when they get something. And I thought to myself, I wonder if those are testimonies of faith or good luck charms. Have you ever wondered which it might be? Sometimes we have this idea that protection is about God's enabling us to accomplish our goal. You know, he's going to protect the ball from going this side or that side. It's going to go straight forward. Well, protection is a lot more for God's people. It's a lot more. We have to fix our goal and our desire on Christ, on God's covenant promises. And that's actually where we find them in the wilderness in this text. There's probably nothing more profound that we struggle with in our Christian journey in the wilderness than to understand God's protection. I've struggled with it. I'm sure you've struggled with it. I remember now many, many years ago when my wife Debbie was kidnapped in Eritrea. And her colleague was shot and killed. And I wondered to myself, God, why didn't you protect her? And then I thought, as the weeks wore on, Lord, why didn't you protect my wife and me from this tragedy? And if you would allow your mind to go through the missionary journeys of many people, you'd have to ask other questions the same way. You'd have to ask the questions about single missionaries that have been raped. Why? Where was God? Why didn't he protect them? We have a friend who was kidnapped and kept for an excess of 9 months in an Arab world country. He was beaten. He was abused. He was forced to live in unbelievable circumstances. Where was God? Why doesn't God stop these things? Why doesn't God protect us? And so there's this deep angst of the soul that wrestles with the question, where is God when life is miserable? Has God forgotten me? Is he just MIA? Or is there something that I have wrong about understanding protection? Protection is not a system of preserving somehow my good things. It's not about my life. It's not about my job. It's not about my children. It's not about my money. It's not about my great autonomous choices. It's not about any of those things. No, protection is God's way of moving us into his space and of redirecting our eyes on his face. Protection is a way of keeping us focused on God's righteousness, on God's holiness, on God's sovereign rule and reign in my life and what he wants me to do. That's what protection is for. We usually define protection as being from. Well, it's also from as well as for. Let's look a little bit about how God has protected the Israelites. God's wilderness protection of Israel. There was, and I'm just going to sort of go through a lot of the chapters that we're not reading because there's a whole history of it. You know, they were wandering in the wilderness. God protected them with a fence. You remember they came to Sinai? They built a fence around it, lest even the goats should climb up on the mountain where Moses was and he was receiving the commandments of the Lord, so that they wouldn't be destroyed. So he puts a fence there to keep them from that destruction. He provides them with laws. That's what Moses was up there for. That's what we're reading here. He protected them with laws. Well, why? Because it was going to be social injustice, and God knew the heart. So he protected them with laws about that. Exodus 22 talks about that social injustice. It also talks about the rumors that they could be protected from. So God protects us from rumors, from each other, as it were. He protects us from false prophets so that we might know what it is that God wants us to know. And we might walk the way God wants us to walk. He protects us from false prophets. He protects us from attacking enemies. And he protected Israel from attacking enemies. He protected them from hunger and basic inadequacies. Their shoes didn't wear out. So, well, you know, maybe he should have given them all new shoes. Well, he protected them. He gave them shoes that didn't wear out. He protected them from injustice with his justice. And he reminds us of that in this text. He says, listen, when you get into the land and you are commanded to destroy the inhabitants, don't understand that it's your righteousness. It's your wonderful holiness. It's not about you. It's the fact that the people have sinned grievously for generations. And this is now my punishment. It's not particularly your reward for what you've done. And so God reminds them. So when we come to Deuteronomy 20, we're looking at God's protection from fear. It's all of these things that God protects us from. But he protects us from them, as he did Israel, to something else. It's not just from. He doesn't just put a shield around us. You know, it's not one of these acrylic shields that somehow protects us from each other. There's a greater purpose. And we need to see that. So let's think about God's way of protection. And we'll come back into these verses that we've read into this text to take a look at it. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 is, it's a definition for us. He's gone through the clear enemy that may be out there, the Anakim, the giants in the land. Surely God says, I know you've heard about them. Everybody's heard about them. They're fearful men. Who can stand against them? Mm-hmm. But know today that he who goes over before you is a consuming fire. It's the Lord your God. So God protected them against the enemies as a consuming fire. It wasn't just the Anakim. I would suggest to you that there are giants in all of our lives. Giants of disbelief. Just like the Anakim. Who would not, who could not follow after Jehovah God. God said, I'm a consuming fire. I will take away all of those giants in the land, in your wilderness. God says, I will take those giants away. No, it's not your righteousness, he says in verse 4. It's not about you. It's about me. Don't say in your heart after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it's because of my righteousness that the Lord brought me to possess this land. No, it's the wickedness of the land that God brings you into it. The consuming fire, in other words, are the giants, the difficulties, the penalties that actually we would otherwise have and should have. It's not about righteousness, God says in verse 7. Don't forget how you provoked the Lord your God in the wilderness. Well, Deuteronomy 9, they were just starting to do it. They have a whole journey of provoking God. Again and again and again they provoke God. God says, it's not about, you know, what you've done. So I want you to remember. So part of God's protection is that we remember. We can look back and see what he's done. And it's something that we get to talk about in the generations to come. And this text, the passageway of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land, that was the memory of generation after generation. So we share not only God's provision generation after generation, but we share God's protection. How God protected me. How God protected me from this, from that. He took me here. He took me there. It wasn't about me. It was about him. It was about the journey he was taking me on. So you need to ask that question, what journey is God taking you on? Verse 9. God wanted to protect from ignorance. It's really clear there. So Moses says, I went up the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord made with you. God gives us these words that we might know what to do. He protects us from ignorance. He protects us from just meandering in the wilderness, from meandering in our lives. And so he gives us some direction. He gave Israel some direction. Don't always follow it, but he gave it. Verse 12, after God had given, he'd written with his finger on the tablets of stone, then he looks at Moses and he says, Moses, get down there. Because the people, mind you, he says, that you've let out have sinned against me. Moses, you remember, comes down the mountain and he hears shouts of joy. Great rejoicing. The problem was it was rejoicing over the wrong things. It was rejoicing over a false God. So God had to protect his people from false worship. And he sends Moses down. He says, hurry up. So quickly, the people have forgotten who they serve. So God's way of protection is multifaceted. It covers all of our lives. That's what we see when we look at this text. When we think about God's wonderful protection, it continues. It didn't just protect Israel. It's not just a particular way that he protects them, which is more ways than we begin to think, but that wonderful protection continues for us today. It protects us from insiders and outsiders, or can I say from outsiders and insiders, sometimes. The worst that can happen to us is the betrayal or the anger or the opinions of somebody that we've come to count on and lean on. God protects us from ourselves. In a church, in a congregation, he protects us from each other. We're not always the community we ought to be. That's what we learned from Israel. They weren't always the community that they should have been. God protects us from lies and from untruth, sometimes by not allowing us to hear it, sometimes by mitigating the impact of what it is that those lies and that untruth might bring to us. Sometimes it's by removing the one who is mitigating or fumigating, I should say, the lies and the untruth. There's no way that we can begin to say, well, there's only one way that God has of protecting us. If he says, I want to give you the truth, I want you to walk in the truth, I want you to go in the way of the truth, he's got a lot of ways of keeping us there. That is his protection. He protects us from our emotions. We've got a lot of psychology that is all around us today saying, just let them out. Let your emotions out. Sometimes that's necessary, just so we can recognize what it is we're dealing with. we need to say, I'm afraid. We need to be able to say, I'm feeling compelled and compulsive. We need to feel, and we need to say when we feel, I'm angry. And then God protects us from those things. He says, are you really angry of the right thing? Are you fearful of the right thing? Are you joyful for the right thing? Do you feel compelled and constrained for the right thing? God protects our emotions. Our emotions are a big part of who we are. They push us. They drive us. They fulfill us. God protects them. God protects our choices. When we're tempted, we pray, Lord, guide me, help me, lead me through this temptation. Protect me from it. Not that it's just removed, but that my heart is maintained and it's steadfast and true. Maybe I have loved the wrong things. God needs to protect that love for the wrong things. That's what he did with Israel. He sends Moses down. He says, Moses, speak to the people. Remind them. Moses took that golden calf, that metal animal that they had cast, that they said, behold, Israel, here is your God. And he ground it up that they might know who was truly God. So God protected them, and he protects us. Sometimes he destroys those gods just the way Moses had to destroy that image. So think about how God begins to destroy the things in our lives that we have come to worship. Substitute gods. Might be money. You know, just think about the three big ones that have attacked mankind from through all the ages. Money, power, and sex. The great temptations. God may actually remove some of those things from us. And we think, but it's my means of income, Lord. Yeah, I know. You're worshiping it. But it's the center of my sense of who I am. Yes, I know. You're worshiping it. He may have to remove it. Grind it up. You say, but God, why is it gone? And God's response in your heart and my heart needs to be, because I want you to love me. I will protect you from those things that you have loved too much. Protection is not just from bad, evil, uncomfortable things, but it's so that we might give glory and honor to God. It's both from and to, but it's never a from without the to. There's a direction that God says, I want your head to be turned. I want your heart to be secured. And I will protect you so that your head is turned and so that your heart is secured, so that you do make the right choices, so that you embrace the right things. So God puts things into place in front of us. He sometimes takes things away from us. He sometimes changes circumstances. He sometimes changes the powers that are around us. He sometimes changes the results. He sometimes changes our interests, our love. He sometimes changes the fear in our heart. Do you see how God protects us? All those ways. It's not just by putting a fence around us, keeping the enemy away, giving us dominance over the things that are, feel greater in our lives. So God wraps his redemptive love around us. I want you to think about that redemptive love for a moment. I think probably all of us wrapped ourselves up this morning. It's a cold morning. So what do you protect when you wrap yourself up? You put your gloves on and you go outside with a sleeveless shirt, right? A t-shirt. Well, it might keep your hands warm, but it doesn't keep your core warm. You put a coat on and your head freezes and your hand freezes. So it all depends on what it is you're trying to protect. Your face, your hands, your body, your legs, your feet. What is it you're trying to protect? God cloaks us in His Redeemer, and He gives to us His redemptive protection. This last week, I had a conversation with my grandson. He had purchased a classic pickup truck when he was 16. It was going to be his project. And it was probably a much better purchase than other things that his 16-year-old mind might have purchased. So he purchased it, and he began driving it. He knew that it was a project, and about 6 months after he began driving it, it broke down. And it remained parked in his other grandfather's farm in New York State. And he has planned for months. He was finally going to take a weekend off in January and go up there and fix it. So over Christmas, he managed to get the engine rebuilt. Didn't get it in. He said, I'm going to go back in a couple of weeks. And I thought to myself, I hope so. So I asked him this week, are you going to go up? He said, I looked at the weather. And I thought about trying to manage icy bolts in bare fingers while I laid on the ground. And I think I'm going to wait. So as much as now his 18-year-old desire is to fix that truck, he's willing to give up some desires for the practical realities. I guess that's what I want to say. We make choices, and God helps us to make right choices. Sometimes, frankly, if it's the weather, so be it. God wants to reform our choices, that our choices are wise choices according to His way, not according to our desires just, but according to His desires and His ways. So we want to protect our emotions, sometimes by comfort food, right? I'm feeling down, let me eat. I'm going to protect my emotions by a habit that simply drives me or my body or my health or my relationships deeper and deeper away from God's holiness. Habits of the mind, habits of the body, habits of choice. God says, I want to protect you. I want to wrap my Redeemer around you. And so He gives us His eternal purpose. And He immediately reveals what it is that He wants us to do. He protects us. His Word is a protection for us. I've got to know it. I have to follow it. But it's a protection for me. It's not something that beats me over the head. It's God saying, walk with me, that I might walk with you. I will walk with you in my Son, Christ Jesus, that you might know where I want you to be. Keep your eye on Him. His Redeemer who bears our sorrows. He takes our grief. He takes our failures. He takes our doubts. Those things that would just not only rise out from the center of us, but fall down on top of us and crush us. God protects us from that crushing presence of my doubts, of my fears, of my failures, so that I can't go forward. He says, no, I'll go with you. I will walk with you. I will give you Christ Jesus. And He walks in Christ alongside of us. You know, whether we think of Him or not, whether our hearts are totally centered or not, God is faithful to say, I will walk with you anyway. I will take some things away from you. I will redirect some things so that your heart might be protected. We do wander. When we wander, God may give us a fence. God may allow us to walk up against a difficulty. But God gives us a confidence in Christ, a strength in my every weakness, if I recognize where God wants me to be. Unlike what happened to the Israelites, God provides Christ Jesus, who actually destroyed the enemy. You get that? The Israelites went in and they knew there were giants in the land. God said, take them out, I'll go before you. You remember, it was only Caleb who stood when he was older than I am, at 80. And he said, I will take them on. Give me that land. I will take on the Anakim, the giants of the land. Because I know that God goes before me. God will go before you. But Christ has destroyed the enemy. That's why he's gone before you. It's not the Anakim anymore. It's not that God's going to come and say, well, the enemies weren't defeated. In Christ, they are defeated. And he simply calls us to walk in the way of the defeater, the one who has defeated Christ Jesus. Walk behind him. Walk close to him. And when you feel you can't take it anymore, retreat into his presence. We sang of that this morning. We have a Redeemer who has set up for us a place to which we can retreat. It's a fortress. It's a great fortress. But it's not built out of stone. It doesn't have a doorway in the same sense that a physical fortress does. It's a person. And I retreat from all those things that press down upon me, and I retreat into the very presence of Christ. And God says, I will protect you. Come into my presence. He may protect your choices by narrowing their choices. He may protect your growth by giving you opportunities. He may protect your self-focus by giving you opportunities for compassion. God will protect you. So, let me just ask you, what fear drives you? What enemy do you think is destroying you? What story about yourself or about others weighs so heavily on you that causes you anger or grief or shame or sadness? What's that story? And what's God's story that he has for you? Can you see it? Can you see the one that God has said, I will be with you. I will protect you. I have sent my son to walk with you. I just want to call you today to flee to the fortress that is Christ Jesus. Flee to that fortress. These next few days, I want to encourage you to take the questions that are printed in the bulletin. And you'll see that there are several questions there at the bottom of the sermon note page. There are two sets of questions, a set of questions reflecting on this text, questions from today's sermon. Spend Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday reflecting on those questions. And then turn your heart to reflection questions about next week's message. Walk in the wilderness of the King. Stand in the place where the Spirit of Christ will shine upon you. God has given his word that we might journey. Where is your journey? How has the protector come alongside of you? Maybe today you look at it and you say, I've been protecting myself. I don't want anybody to know that I'm not strong enough to protect myself. God says, no, let me be your protector. I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we have too often thought of ourselves as our own protectors. And we have not fled to you in Christ Jesus. Father, we confess that too often we have simply seen and been burdened with our own fears, with our own bitterness, with our own anger. Or we found our hearts lifted up and joyful about the wrong things. We've been tempted. Father, today, we confess that we need you. Lord Jesus, we need you to walk with us and to enable us to walk with you. We don't doubt that you walk with us. But when we look behind and we look ahead, we've seen that our way has left your way, and we have not walked with you. So this week, Father, take us. Protect us, that our hearts would be turned to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.